So good morning, everybody. Welcome to those who are participating from the East Coast. That's everybody here. Welcome to those who are participating from the West Coast. That's everybody over there. What we're going to do today is we're going to analyze in depth the machlokas between the Baal HaMor and the Ramban regarding the question of using the Hanukkah candles, getting Hana from the Hanukkah candles, which has been our topic for the last few weeks. We just have one more week of this afterwards. But, you know, all of the groundwork that we've done over the last 2 weeks in this sugya is going to pay off in spades, God willing, today. Let me just give you a little bit of a background to the machlokes in between the Baal HaMor and the Ramban in general. This is one of the great and most exciting things about halacha. The Rif, Rabbeinu Yitzchak Alfasi, wrote comprehensive halachic work. He went through all of Shas, and what he did was he wanted to write a code of halacha. Okay, the Rambam really got that idea in a lot of ways from the Rif when the Rambam wrote his Mishneh Torah and organized it differently, not by Masechta, but thematically by topic. So the Rif wanted to do that. So he went through Shas, and he took out all the agadotas that weren't halacha l'maisa, and he boiled down all the halachic sugyas to what the psak was. So that was what the Rif did, and that was his sefer halacha. And the Baal HaMor, Rabbeinu Zrachya Halevi, came along a century later in southeast of France. The Rif lived in North Africa. He wrote, because his name was Zrachya, which literally means Zarach, his sun is shining, so very cleverly. He wrote a sefer, which he called the Baal HaMor, the person with the light. I think he wrote it when he was 18 years old, which doesn't make me feel particularly good. The Rambam also wrote his Perush HaMishnayos when he was 18 years old, which
was 17.
Oh, he wrote it, he was 17, okay.
He finished it.
Yeah, exactly. Either way, right? Either way, I'm a few decades behind, maybe a few centuries behind. So the Baal HaMor wrote a critique of the Rif Sefer. He wrote a lot of his own ideas, and beautiful and work that we're going to delve into today. We're going to learn a very famous passage from the Baal HaMor. Now, the Ramban, Moshe ben Nachman, who was a great Mechadish in his own right, wrote a whole category of Svarim, many, many different Svarim, defending previous works. So one of these Svarim, which defended previous works, what he's called the Milchamos Hashem, the Wars of the Lord. And the whole point of the Milchamos Hashem is to defend the Rif against the broadsides of the Baal HaMor. So, you know, it always, any passage in the Milchamos always starts with these witty lines of, you know, I took it out today just because it doesn't relate thematically, but the first line, for example, of the passage that we're going to read today is, Zeha Perush, speaking about the Baal HaMor, Bab Machteres al Rabbeinu HaGadol, Bab Machteres is a reference to somebody who sneaks in and breaks into somebody's house. You know, V'nitan l'hatzilo b'nafsho, and the halacha is, if somebody's Bab Machteres, you can save yourself, even at the cost of the other person's life. So what he's saying is, this guy, the Baal HaMor, is attacking the Rif, Bab Machteres, V'nitan l'hatzilo b'nafsho, I'm going to save the Rif at all costs, even if it means I'm going to take the life of the Baal HaMor, which is like, you know, halachic trash talking. That's really a little bit of the background. Okay, so we're just going to speed through the four Gemaras that we've seen already. Again, just to make sure that we have all of the... This is the raw material. This is the data that they're going to battle back and forth with. And then we're going to go into depth in the Baal HaMor. And then we're going to finish off with the Ramban. That is the program today. Okay, so the first source again, Amar Rav Huna. Those wicks and oils which you couldn't light with on Shabbos, the concern being Shemayata, the Isser Havara, Lo Sevaru Esh B'chol Mosh Vaseichem, you're going to be using them on Shabbos because that's the whole nature of Nero Shabbos. Again, what did the Rambam describe Nero Shabbos as? What's the din of Nero Shabbos? It's a din in... What word did the Rambam use to prove that you have to use the lights on Shabbos? It should be a Nero Dalek Beveso. It's Oneg Shabbos. It's a din in using them. So, Eim Adlikin Bahen B'Chanukah, the first view of Rav Huna is you can't light them on Chanukah, Bein B'Shabbos, Bein B'Chol. Amar Rava, my time is Rav Huna, Kasavar, Kav Sazak. That if it goes out, you have to relight them. That's why you can't use those kinds of lights, Bimei Chol. The concern is that they're going to go out and you're going to forget to relight them. So you have to use the best quality lights. But we're interested in the Shabbos part. Why can't you use them on Shabbos? And the concern is, again, since you're going to be using the Chanukah lights on Shabbos for all manner of things, we're going to be concerned that you're going to adjust the lights. Unless they're of the highest quality, they're burning oh so bright. So you're not going to be concerned that you're going to adjust them. So the position of Rav Huna must be and likewise that's the position of Rav Chista. Okay, next line towards the end. You are certainly allowed to use them on Chanukah, bein b'chol bein b'shabbos. Some of you, in my time at the Rav, what's the svarah? Kasavar kav sein zakuk. Well, who cares if they're not the highest quality? If they go out, you don't have to relight them. Okay, you're not allowed to blow them out. I mean, we learned the Prima Gadim a number of weeks ago that a person who does that the mezid has to relight them again with the bracha because he undermined the mitzvah. The asur lihishtamish liora, and it must be that since you're prohibited from using lights anyway, we're not concerned that in the process of using the lights, you're going to adjust the flame and thereby violate the Yisr Daraisa, lo sevaru esh b'chol mos r'seichem yom ha-shabbos. So you have a frontal machlokas, Rav Huna, Rav Chista on the one hand, mutar lihishtamish liora, Rav on the other, and Rav Zeira, Rav Masna, all the various Amorayim who paskin asur lihishtamish liora, and as we pointed out, that seemed to be the accepted psak. You'll recall the Gemara Abaye said, oivei, if I had only paid attention the first time, I would have learned it earlier, Girsa Diyankasa, how wonderful would that have been? Chaval al-da'atin, I lament those which slipped away. Second Gemara, Amarava tzarech ner acheres lishtamish li'ora. One requires another candle to use for its lights. V'ika madura, but if there is a torch in the house, lo tzarech. V'adam chashavu, and if a person is an adam chashav, and we spoke about last week, I don't really know, you know, why Madura was associated with a person who wasn't an Adam Chashev, I just don't know enough about the history and the sociology. Again, if you were around at the time of the Gemara, this would make perfect sense. You would say, oh yeah, this is like, you know, some, you know, low-end flashlight. You know, I wouldn't be caught dead if there was the highest quality flashlight around today. I remember every year I went to camp, and there was a kid who had like a flashlight, like, you know, that he took from the Marines or something like that. And there was always that kid, and I always like had my dinky flashlight that my mom gave me, you know, like it was like, you know, $2.99. What is it? What's the
Maglite.
Oh, Maglite? Yeah. Okay, so see, I don't even know how to pronounce it. Thank you, Josh. So Vika Madura Lo Tzarech, but if you're not a Mchashov, like my friend at camp, and you won't be caught dead with anything but a Maglite, so then Afagav the Ika Maglite, you know, Tzarech Nera Charis, you need to have another candle. And we maybe explained the sheet of Rabba was how. What was the underlying Rabba's idea that you need another candle there? I mean, is Rabba arguing that it's aser to be mishtamish with Ner Chanukah? Not necessarily. Maybe you can, but what was Rashi's interpretation? Rashi said, assuming Nisa, that whether or not one is permitted to use the Chanukah candles, you know, and of course it sounds, let's say it works easier with the sheet that says you can't, but whether or not one is permitted to use the Neros Chanukah, the idea here is that it will compromise the way that it looks. Presuming Nisa, Rashi used the language of Heker. It has to be recognizable that the Chanukah candles are for Chanukah candles, so therefore you make a statement by having another Ner that's lit in the house, and that shows that, you know, the Chanukah candles were not lit for the purposes of using their lights. Now, of course, Rava is compatible also with the view which says that you can use the Chanukah candles, right? All Rava might be saying is that you can use the Chanukah candles, but there's a separate issue of making sure that people understand very well that the Chanukah candles were lit for a mitzvah. Now, once they're lit for a mitzvah, maybe you can use them. But the way that you project that, that the Chanukah candles were primarily lit for a mitzvah, is by having a Ner Acharis. We're going to come to that in the Rishonim. That was the second Gemara. Third Gemara, Amar Yehuda, Amar Vasi, Amar Rav. Asur lahartzos maos keneged Ner Chanukah. One can't count money next to the Chanukah candles. So we pointed out last week is that could go in one of two directions. Number one, you might say, okay, you can't count money because that's a, what's that example of? Yeah, a tashmish techol. But the implication would be that anything which wasn't tashmishe techol would be permissible. On the other hand, how did the Ran really got this from the Rabban, as we'll see, but how did the Ran read this Gemara? Is that even counting money, which is ion hakal, which isn't particularly invasive, all you're doing is, you know, you're sort of using a light, but you're not using the light in any kind of dramatic way. One isn't, like, let's say, directly taking from the flame. Even that is not permissible. So again, depending on one's perspective, and we're going to see this in the Rishonim, this Gemara could be read in one of two directions. That's really why, you know, you got to read the Gemara closely, because, you know, you can always make, you know, conflicting inferences based on the line of the Gemara. So it says, you cannot count money by the presence of the light of the Chanukah candles. Well, you know, what is the proper inference to make? And we said, you know, the inference could be in either direction, which will depend on your general perspective. So, ki amrisa kame de Shmuel. So when Rav Asi, or Rav, whoever said this in front of Shmuel, or Rav Yehuda said this in front of Shmuel, amar li v'chi ner kedusha yeshba, I don't understand. Is a ner Chanukah a davar shebikdusha? If it was a davar shebikdusha, I would understand that it's not permissible to use a davrusha b'kedusha for any other purpose. Remember, we gave the example of the menorah. The Ran says, la'halacha, that the Neros Chanukah are based on the menorah, right, and the Shemen, the Beis HaMikdash. And given that that's the case, one isn't permitted to get any hana'ah from them whatsoever. So, v'chiner kedusha yeshba, says Shmuel, I don't understand. Neros Chanukah are not on that model. They're not imbued with kedusha. So why should you say asur lahartzes ma'aser? So here you say Shmuel is coming down clearly, and he thinks that you can count money next to the Neros Chanukah. So the question is, what does that mean about Shmuel Shita generally? Which we're going to get to in a second. I mean, Shmuel is indicating here that, at least as far as counting money goes, that itself is permissible. Maskif la Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef attacks Shmuel. Says, v'chidam kedusha yeshba. Why should this depend on kedusha at all? Dam, kisoy hadam, doesn't have any kedusha. Nonetheless, there are certain things which you cannot do in the context of kisoy hadam. D'tanya, the Brisa says, v'shavach v'chisa, v'mesh shavach chichase, shelo yichasena b'regel. When you put the dirt on top of the blood, you're not allowed to kick it on. Shelo yihu mitzvos v'zuyos alav. Because what is this? It's not a function of kedusha, but what's the active halachic principle here? It has nothing to do with kedusha, it has to do with bizoy mitzvah. And likewise, so hachanami shelo yihu mitzvos bezuyos alav. So Rav Yosef's position is that what? The counting hartzas maos in front of the light of Hanukkah candles, that would represent a form of bezuy. The question is, what exactly does that mean, which we're going to enter into the discussion today in terms of the Rishonim. The final Gemara that we saw was a machlokis between Rav and Shmuel. Itmar. Rav amar ein madlikin miner l'ner. You cannot take the light of one Hanukkah candle and extend it to the next Hanukkah candle. Shmuel amar madlikin. And Shmuel permitted this. Okay, remember, Shmuel is the one who said before that he didn't think it would be a problem to count money. Okay, so you're going to have to put the two Shmuels together. On the one hand, Shmuel is saying it's not a problem to count money by the light of Hanukkah candles. And here Shmuel is saying you can even go from light to light. So let's go a little bit further into the Gemara. So Yasiv Haomi Rabban Kami Dirava De Barava V'Yasiv V'Kamar Time of Dirav Mishum Bizoy Mitzvah. Rav is concerned that there's going to be a denigration of the mitzvah. Amar Lehu Lo Satzitulei Time of Dirav is something else Mishum De Kamachish Le Mitzvah. It's not that it's a Bizoy, but you're actually diluting the mitzvah. You're taking away from it. You're physically removing part of the mitzvah. My benayu, ika benayu, the kamablik mishraga l'shraga. The difference is lighting from one candle to the next. In other words, if the problem is bizoy mitzvah, Rav only said that when you take from the Hanukkah lights and you light something which isn't part of the mitzvah, shamish, what we call kinsa in the language of the Gemara. And then Shmuel would be saying, no, that's not a bizoy because it's all part and parcel of the mitzvah. Even though you're lighting something which isn't part of the mitzvah, isn't necessarily an Erechanik in its own right, it's just a shamish, that's not going to be allowed because, or that's not going to be a problem rather because it's all in the service of the mitzvah. The other perspective was that Rav wasn't saying that it's an issue of bizoy, but Rav is saying that it's hachashas ha-mitzvah, and that even going directly from one candle to the next is going to be a problem because it looks as if one is diluting the first candle. And Shmuel says, no, that's not a problem at all, after you're just going directly from one mitzvah to the next, one near mitzvah to the next. Okay, so those are the Gemaras. That's the background that we've established the last few weeks. And now let's enter into the thickets of the Rishonim.
Can you talk about what's going on, whether or not you can use the same oils?
Whether you could use
the oils you can use on Shabbos?
So the Gemara does seem to come out. It's not 1,000% clear, but it does seem that's really very much what the discussion is about. But it does seem that it's permissible. In other words, that Rav's Shita is the determinant one because Abaye accepted it. Remember, Abaye said, oh, if I had only learned that when I was younger. Right. And so he accepted the idea that you can really use the lower quality lights, and as long as it lasts enough in terms of the Shkia issues. Right. You just have to make sure that it lasts for enough time. But in principle, since there's no issue of Kavsa in Zakokla, number one, number two, Asur Lishtam, Mbatul Lishtam, Mishviora, since there's no issue of that, you can use whatever lights you want. But again, for Shabbos, halacha l'maaseh, and we can talk about this a little bit more next week, you just have to make sure, because, you know, it has to last for half an hour after Shkia, right? So you just have to make sure that it's going to last for a long enough time. So that's why on Shabbos we light to make sure that it can last a little bit longer. But in terms of, you know, Mutter versus Asur Lishtamish Biora, it sounds like we paskin Asur Lishtamish Biora from the Gemara. And that's really what we're going to get into. Okay. Good question. Okay. Source 5, Balamor. So this is the way the Baal HaMor learns the sugya, and again, just to help, everybody has one of these.
One of these.
Yeah.
Does the fact that the
to the Yivet. You know, to the Yivet, you need to light only one candle on any given night have any impact on this discussion? Absolutely. Great question, Mark. What's that?
Yeah.
Okay, so the more one focuses on Ner Ishu Beso, I think we mentioned this last week, the more one sees that the primary mitzvah is just lighting one candle, the less likely one is going to permit taking from that candle to light to other candles, right? Because how much are these really part and parcel of the mitzvah? After all, these are just midin mahadrin. So one could, misavara, make the argument that because the primary mitzvah is only candle number one, that was one of the tzadim in the Gemara, that Rav was concerned about taking from that light and using to the other lights, and Shmuel is okay with that. But that's the kamachish lehu mitzvah. That was the second side of the Gemara. And the concern again was that one would take away from the primary mitzvah for things which are only midin mahadrin. Shkoach, good question. Do you mind just passing me one of those charts? Thank you very much. Okay. So the Baal HaMor says as follows. Source 5. Lemand amar asher lishtamish li'ora. Remember the Gemara started in Source 5 with a machloket between Rav Huna and Rav Chista on the one hand, and Rav on the other. Rav says asher lishtamish li'ora shel ner Chanukah. Kol tashmish b'mashma, afilu tashmish de mitzvah. Every single type of usage is included, even using it for purposes of mitzvah, v'tashmish kedusha, or using it for any other purpose of kedusha. Why? Because if you said the issue at stake was bizoy mitzvah, what should you say? Is there any bizoy involved in using it for tashmish and mitzvah? Absolutely not. So the Baal HaMor explains why. Because what was Rav's real view? When Rav said, Asur lishtamish li'ora, he meant, Mishum de kasavar kevan shem zecher l'neros, u'l'shem en shalheichal, since it's all based on the menorah, asuros hein behana'a kol ikar, afilu likro basefer, v'afilu l'suda shabbos u'l'sudas mitzvah. Whether it's for the purposes of learning, whether it's the purpose for onek shabbos, etc., etc. The idea is that the mandam holds asher lishtamish li'ora. What's the nature of the yisr? What's it all based on? Exactly. It's all based on the menorah. It all has the din. When the chachamim came along in Mizr Rabbanan and established the Neiros Chanukah, it's called the Tikkun Rabbanan Ke'ein Doraisa Tiknum. They based it on a pre-existing Doraisa. And what was the Doraisa they had in mind? The menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. And that means that asher lishtamish li'ora has nothing to do with Bizoy Mitzvah at all. Zero. What it's everything to do with is called the Tikkun Rabbanan Ke'ein Doraisa Tiknum. It was based on the pre-existing concept of menorah and the Beis HaMikdash, and just like the Neros of the menorah were completely dedicated to the purpose of the menorah, there is no other Hana that could be derived from them, and that is the basis of Neros Chanukah.
Okay. Okay, sorry.
Exactly. That's exactly right. L'manda Amar, Asr l'hartzas ma'os k'neged ner shel Chanukah, right, that was Amar of Yehuda Amar Vasi, that's what he told Shmuel, and he said you can't count money. Dafka hartzos mos. It's a machlokes between the two dayos in the Gemara. In other words, on Chaf Alvam Beis Gemara, number one that we read today, that's saying it's all based on the menorah, and therefore kol tashmishin. When you get to Chaf Beis Amin Aleph, which was the second Gemara that we read today, it says that's a completely different issue. There, the issue is bizoy mitzvah. L'man damar asr l'hartzos mos k'neged ner shel Chanukah, dafka hartzos mos v'chayotze ba, she'i tashmish rishus v'shochol. Because those are mundane and secular purposes. Because at pirish time, yishum bizoy mitzvah, aval tashish mitzvah, v'tashmish kedusha, mutar lishtamish liyora. So what the Baal HaMor has done, and you'll see the Ramban will disagree strongly with this point, is he's driven a wedge in between the Chaf Aleph and Beis and the Chaf Beis Amid Aleph, between the view which says asur lishtamish liyora on the one hand, that's all based on the menorah, and between the view which says asur lahartzas mos, which is the view of bizoy mitzvah. Those are completely different views. They sound similar, but they're actually totally different perspectives. Okay. And so you'll recall, Shmuel objected to that. What was Shmuel's response when Rabbi Yehuda told him, Asur l'hartzos ma'os k'neged ner Chanukah? What did Shmuel say? So Shmuel said, V'chiner k'dusha yesh ba? So, now this is going to be a problem for the Baal HaMor. Why? Because the Baal HaMor said that what was motivating that view was nothing to do with Kedusha, but it has to do with Bizuay HaMitzvah. So why is Shmuel responding, oh, but does it have any Kedusha? What Shmuel should have responded was, but that's not a Bizuay. Right? I mean, because after all, the Baal HaMor's argument is that what Rabbi Yehuda is coming and telling Shmuel is, that, you know, there's an issue of Bezoi going on here. So why is Shmuel responding, oh, you know, but is there any Kedusha? So the Baal HaMor is going to have to square that circle. So watch what happens. Shmuel demitam ola v'chiner Kedusha yesh ba. And so lo sevir lei de'is beis rach Kedusha v'lo mishum iser hana v'mishtam yesh be'ora v'lo ha'vachi ha'gavna Bezoi mitzvah l'daise. What Shmuel really means to say is that this is not a Bezoi mitzvah. You see, the Baal HaMor has to bring it back to the discussion about Bezoi mitzvah, because that's how he's reading the Gemara here on Chaf Beis Amanav. So Shmuel, who says, no, I don't think it's a problem at all to count money keneged Neros Chanukah. What he's really saying, according to the Baal HaMor, and this is, you know, again, the Ramban will diverge on this point, because he doesn't think Shmuel is responding to the point of Bezoi mitzvah at all, because he doesn't think that's what's going on so much, or at least not the way that the Baal HaMor does. So Shmuel's response is, again, Shmuel de Mitama Allah, Shmuel, who was taken aback by this statement, that you can't count money in front of the Neros Chanukah, when he says v'chiner kedusha yesh bo, what he's saying is lo sevir lei de'is beis rach kedusha. He says it certainly doesn't have kedusha at all. In other words, he's disagreeing with the first view of asher li'shtamish li'ora, because it's all based on the menorah. Shmuel is diverging from that. V'lo mishum iser hana, and it doesn't have a categorical iser hana either. B'mishtamish li'ora v'lo havachi agavna bizoy mitzvah l'dase. And therefore, Shmuel says counting money is not going to be a bizoy. Okay, v'lo medami le v'chisoy hadam b'regel chemedami le Rav Yosef. He's not willing to equate that, as Rav Yosef is, with kicking the dirt over the blood. Ad mishtamish begufo shel ner shemechase dam b'regel. Okay, Shmuel says, what would the only thing that qualifies as a bizoy be?
Actually, like something else with the ner.
Ah, excellent. You have to actually take from the flame itself. So Rav Yosef was making the argument that this constitutes a bizoy. Counting money constitutes a bizoy. And Shmuel is saying, no, if you want to compare it to kisoy hadam, the only thing that's going to be a bizoy is actually engaging with the flame itself. Okay, so this is the primary point I really want to delve into today. We're going to go further in the Baal HaMor, but let's... Okay. So, again, the Baal HaMor started by saying there's one view in the Gemara, which the Baal HaMor doesn't accept, which is Asur Lishtamish Be'ora categorically. It's all based on menorah. You can't use it for everything. Now, the view that the Baal HaMor is most interested in is nothing to do with menorah, what we call the Hekdesh argument. It's based on Bezoi Mitzvah. But that there's an internal machlokes amongst those who believe that the issue is Bezoi Mitzvah. You have a machlokes between Shmuel and Rav Yosef. Shmuel, and again you can follow it here along in the chart, Shmuel, that's why I produced it, because, you know, we're getting into pretty detail. Shmuel is making which argument? Shmuel is saying, I buy into Bezoi Mitzvah. I do. I don't think that the issue with Neros Chanukah is Kedusha. That's what he says. V'chi Neros Chanukah Kedusha ispa? There's no Kedusha. Fine, so I think it's Bezoi Mitzvah. But I don't buy that counting money in front of the Neros Chanukah constitutes a bizoy. And Rav Yosef says it is a bizoy. And how does Rav Yosef know it's a bizoy? Yosef says it's a bizoy because, you know, we have the president of Kisoy Adam. So who do you think has a better argument in this machlokas, Shmuel or Rav Yosef? They're both agreeing to bizoy as the premise for the discussion. And then they're debating what the scope of bizoy hamitzah is. And they're saying, does counting money represent a bizoy? Rav Yosef says, certainly. It's no different than, right, kicking the dirt onto the blood. That's a bizoy, so this is a bizoy. And Shmuel apparently says, what's the relationship between kicking blood and counting money? And the way that the Baal HaMor formulates it, just to go one step further, how do I know that Shmuel Haskins this way, midifligu Rav Shmuel b'madlikeh b'ner l'ner. Rav and Shmuel had a dispute about lighting directly from one candle to the next. So the way the Baal HaMor reads the Gemara, not everybody agrees to this, is that the Shmuel will also agree that it's a problem to light from the Chanukah candle to the birthday candle, to the Kinsa. As Moshe, I like Moshe's example very much. The Alma lo shari Shmuel el miner l'ner. Shmuel only allowed you to go from one Chanukah candle to the next, but he never permitted you to use the flame of the Chanukah candle itself for any non-mitzvah purpose. Okay. So, who's got the better argument here, Rav Yosef or Shmuel? Does I don't know if Mark has anything. Just make sure that it's Mark saying anything we pick up on it.
He just did.
Ah, excellent.
Shmuel has better argument because it ties in better to notion of menorah Yisur comparison.
Ties in better to the... What, just one more time?
I think it says menorah Yisur comparison.
Ah, okay. But remember, Mark, that Shmuel is operating within the parameters of Bizui Mitzvah, according to the Baltimore. The Shmuel has nothing to do with the, you know, menorah, Neros, Shmuel is rejecting that, because he says, V'chi Neros Chanukah Mishum Kedusha Yisbah. So, according to Baltimore, both Rav Yosef and Shmuel are squarely within the Bizui HaMitzvah camp. So they're not operating based on the menorah at all. But within Bizui Mitzvah, again, Rav Yosef comes along and says, how is this any different than Kisoy Hadam? When it comes to Kisoy Hadam, you're not allowed to kick the blood onto it. So, Hachanami, in this case, you shouldn't be allowed to count your money in front of the Neros Chanukah. And Shmuel obviously doesn't agree with that. Shmuel understands that in Kisoy Hadam, you can't be kicking the blood, the Masha Shafal Pichasen. Right? But, okay, so what do we think about that? Shmuel, Rav Yosef, I mean, you can't go wrong. Okay, so what, anybody want to, I mean, take sides. You're going to have... Okay, Jacob, go ahead. Well, what's the basis of the argument?
What's the basis?
Yeah, what are they really disputing? I mean, clearly this is an important machlokas.
Well, I mean, you know, Shmuel seems to think that, you know, as long as you're not using something physically with your body, then... No, it's not considered bizui. You're not using the flame, you're not touching the flame, you're not moving the flame. But Rav Yosef seems to think that as long as there is something which detracts from, you know, maintaining it as a holy or as a special item, then that, you know, it's
one of them. Take it. Okay, so we'll just get to Mark in a second, but what Jacob is saying is, you know, Jacob's restating the position of the Baal HaMor. The Baal HaMor sees the difference as Shmuel's view is that until you actually take from the flame itself, that's not constituted bizui. And Rav Yosef says that even using the light is it constitutes a bizui. You're not actually taking away from the flame, but you're just using the light for a mundane purpose. And he compares that to Kisoy Adam. So let me just start off this way, then we'll see what Mark said, is that it seems to be that Shmuel, l'chora, no pun intended, has a better argument, right? Because what does it have to do with Kisoy Adam? Kisoy Adam is a physical manipulation, it's a physical bizui. You're kicking the dirt onto the blood. So here you're not actually taking away from the flame when you're just, you know, counting the money. So what is Rav Yosef thinking? I mean, Rav Yosef is probably many steps ahead of us. He has to be sensitive to that distinction also. So if Shmuel is coming along and saying, yeah, use the paradigm of Kisoy Adam, the only thing which constitutes a bizui is to actually physically manipulate the mitzvah itself, to use it in a denigrating manner, here you haven't touched the flame. So what's Rav Yosef thinking? In other words, Shmuel seems to have a good argument there. That's why Shmuel, the Baal HaMor, will say, Shmuel will draw the line and actually physically taking away from the flame for a mundane purpose, using the flame to light a birthday candle. I love Moshe's example, thank you. Or using from the flame to, I don't know, you want to put your toast on top of it, right? And you're making your marshmallow, right? So, what's Rav Yosef thinking? Mark
says, question becomes, what is the nature, it's too late apparently, I'll read it anyway. Question becomes, what is the nature of bizui? Is it something lowly or disgusting, or is it simply using the flame for something different?
So I think that's correct, okay. But let me just reformulate that.
Also, by Kisoy Adam, the mitzvah isn't really, I mean, the mitzvah is, the actual act is to cover the blood, right?
Right.
And here, the act is to light the candle. So as far as you're concerned, lighting the candle was done in a kosher manner. What you do with it afterwards is like, a more apt comparison would be to take the blood and do something with that blood that you've already covered.
Okay, just hang on to that. You're, I think you're 3/4 of a step ahead of us. Okay, but so I just have to make one point, then we're going to get to Jacob's point. Seems to me that what Rav Yosef is really saying, I mean, again, you have to ask yourself, did Rav Yosef miss something here? Again, Kisoy Hadam is a bizui because you're actually kicking in the area of the blood. You're kicking dirt onto the blood. That's a physical bizui. We can all agree to that. but what bezoi is there here? You're not actually touching the flame. You're not even interacting with the flame directly. That's Shmuel's point. It was Rav Yosef missed something, but no, Rav Yosef is saying, of course it's comparable, because that's the difference between the nature of blood and the nature of light. What does it mean to manipulate the actual guf hadavar when it comes to blood? It means kicking dirt onto it. That's a physical manipulation. But the whole nature of light, and this is the argument between Rav Yosef and Shmuel, is to use it to see. So it is an apt comparison, right? You don't. What you do with fire is you use it. I mean, fire can be used as a heating object, right? You can use it in the flame directly. But fire, especially in the context of Neros Hanukkah, could be used for the light. So actually, it is comparable, right? That seems to be what Rav Yosef, the point that Rav Yosef is making. And Shmuel says, no, I still maintain that for it to be comparable, you actually have to take from the flame. And it's the argument about what the nature of light really is it the flame or is it the light? So Rav Yosef is saying that he thinks the Guf HaDavar, this is my interpretation of Rav Yosef, the Guf HaDavar really, just like in the context of Kisoy Adam, means kicking dirt onto the blood itself, so the Guf HaDavar here is the light, what you can do, or haner, that is the nature of light. So it has to do with the distinction between the nature of light and the nature of blood. And Shmuel says, no, the nature of light is still, you know, the guf hadavar we still only look at as the flame itself. So the only thing which is actually going to be comparable is manipulating the flame. Everybody know what I mean when I say the difference between the flame itself and the light which comes out of the flame? So again, how much does one consider the light a guf hadavar? I think that Rav Yosef is saying that the very nature of fire is that the light is the guf hadavar, and that's comparable exactly to the blood itself. And Shmuel is taking issue with that, and he's saying, no, only the flame is the guf hadavar. Good.
My only question.
Yeah, please, Josh, go ahead.
It just seems like the word bezoi is very broad in terms of the way they're talking about it. It's like, I understand kicking blood, like kicking dirt over blood, I get that as a bezoi, its own concept. But let's just say counting money, it doesn't seem that bezoi-ish.
Right, so Shmuel.
Just from like a conceptual perspective, it's like, okay, if I was using it to commit sin, that would be bezoi. But right. Like, you know.
100%. When we get to the Ramban, I think that's going to come back. In other words, this idea that, remember we already mentioned in the name of the Ran, that it's just Ian Hakal. How much are you really using it for? But I think that...
It's not even Ian, it's more like, you know, what constitutes the word bezoi in itself in terms of...
Yeah, it's going to be a very
contextual... Really using it for some other purpose that's not mitzvah-y.
Right.
Or like...
Right, so that's very much the machlokes between, in a lot of ways, between Rav and Rav Yosef and Shmuel. The Rav Yosef has a more expansive definition, and he says, you know, it's not just a question of the flame itself, but it's the light that comes in, and anything that you do with that light, which is not for the purpose of a mitzvah, constitutes a bezoi. That's fairly expansive, and Shmuel says, no, l'chora. Shmuel is saying that the only thing that would really constitute a bezoi is directly engaging the flame. And what Josh is pointing out is it shouldn't only be the distinction between the light and the flame, right? It should also be, it also depends exactly what kind of thing you're doing. But remember, that's really the thrust of the Baal HaMor here. The Baal HaMor is going to, you know, when we get to the Maskana, the Baal HaMor is saying that it's a given that all of the bezoi mitzvah people, whether it's Shmuel or Rav Yosef, who have this internal dispute within the school of bezoi mitzvah, whether you're Shmuel or you're Rav Yosef, bezoi mitzvah is not going to apply to tashmishei mitzvah and tashmishei kiddush at all, because those are things which can never be construed as bezoi. That's why Shmuel himself will allow you to go from one Hanukkah candle to the next Hanukkah candle, because that's not a bezoi. As the Ran himself said, we saw this last week, is because it's min bimino, eino batel. There's nothing wrong with using the actual flame, not just the light, but the actual flame of Neros Hanukkah for the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah itself. So that is really what I think the machlokas between Rav Yosef and Shmuel is. When we define the nature of lights, of fire, are we focusing on the flame or are we focusing on the light? Rav Yosef wanted to compare it to Kisoy Hadam and to say, yeah, the parallel from Kisoy Hadam to Neros Chanukah in the world of fire is that if you're using the light, that's the same thing. That's the Guf HaDavar, because that's the very nature. That is the very nature of light. And Shmuel said, no, it's that really you have to physically engage it.
All the examples have to do with seeing, anything to do with sight. What about warmth? I mean, would you be able to use the Hanukkah candles for their warmth?
Right, so that would depend very much on this issue. I think it would come down to this issue itself.
Still, you don't have a choice.
Well, no, but that would be like, you know, it's like the parallel, what Jacob is saying is like, you know, just like Rava said, you need a ner acheres in your house.
I'm saying you have 10 ners, it's going
to
be stronger.
So right, no, I know, but like, just like Rava said, you needed to light an extra candle so that nobody would ever get the impression that you're lighting the Hanukkah candles for the purposes of the light. Maybe you should have the heater on. Right? In other words, the Gemara didn't discuss that, but I think it's kind of an interesting suggestion. And I think that would goofa depend on all of these issues. I want to return to your previous comment. Because remember what we've been discussing this whole time is also is hadlaka osa mitzvah versus hanacha osa mitzvah. How much is the nature, we've already made a distinction between the nature of fire and the nature of, or the flame and the nature of light. But can we connect this machlokis between Shmuel and Rav Yosef to something else? Namely, is the mitzvah to light the Hanukkah candles, or is the mitzvah to have the light around? And we've already established many, many times that the primary mitzvah is going to be to light the candles themselves. But maybe this is a factor as well. And what I mean by that is that the more one says that the mitzvah is simply the act of lighting the candles, of lighting that flame, maybe the only thing which is going to constitute a bizoy is engaging that flame directly, and not the light which emerges from that flame. Because the mitzvah itself relates to the flame, producing the flame. Hadlaka osa mitzvah. Therefore, one might take the position of Shmuel. Say the only thing which could constitute a bizoy is something which directly engages the guf hamitzvah. What is the guf hamitzvah? The guf hamitzvah is the fire, not the light. The Rav Yosef's perspective might reflect the idea that there are multiple dimensions to mitzvah. Certainly Rav Yosef is going to agree, because everybody does, hadlaka osa mitzvah. The flame is the primary component of the mitzvah, but there's also a secondary component of the mitzvah, namely the light. So that actually utilizing, usurping the light, and not just the flame, might open you up to bizoy hamitzvah as well. So it might depend on what the nature of the mitzvah is. And that was really what Jacob was getting to a second ago, and I think that's very important. Okay. Let's proceed a little further with the Baal Mor, unless there are any questions about the machlokas between Rav Yosef and Shmuel. Everybody follow and others. Rav Yosef and Shmuel are very much within the school of bizoy mitzvah. There was a first shita which we engaged, a completely different shita, which said, this has nothing to do with bizoy mitzvah, this is predicated on what?
Kedusha,
tzrach kedusha, all based on menorah, in the base of Mikdash. Maskana Dishmaisa, the underlined section. Mark, you have the Maskana Dishmaisa here, continuing on. He's got the thumbs up. Excellent. This is our marathon man. Okay. Everybody's doing well. Okay. Maskana Dishmaisa, Dechayshinan B'nei Roschanika L'Bizoy Mitzvah. How does the Baal Amor Paskin? Is that we're primarily concerned not with the menorah, not with the Sarach Kedusha, but Chayshinan L'Bizoy Mitzvah, Afil yishtamish le'ora le'davar harishus kegon hartzas maos. And we take the more expansive definition of bizoy mitzvah to include not just engaging the flame, but manipulating and usurping the light for anything which is not a mitzvah purpose, like counting money. So who would you say that the Baal Amor Paskin's like? If you had to prove, you know, base it on a view in the Gemara, who does the Baal Amor Paskin like in the Gemara? Which you did not like Rav, because Rav said us. Well, close to Shmuel. He's certainly passing within the school of bizoy mitzvah, but Rav Yosef, exactly. He's passing Rav Yosef's view, Rav Yosef's definition of bizoy mitzvah, namely that bizoy ha-mitzvah extends past the flame even to include the light.
Are there other mitzvahs where they discuss bizoy mitzvah, or are we only learning it from
Kisoy Adam? Kisoy Adam. No. It applies to any, as we'll see in the Ramban, any mitzvah, bishas mitzvah, as we'll see. So remember, the Gemara discussed it in the context of No Ye Sukkah we read about. The decorations of the sukkah, we took a look at that last week. Yeah, so it applies to a whole constellation of mitzvos.
It's tough to draw an analogy to, because you can't really use dom.
Right. Fertilizer, I guess.
Right, but that would argue that dom is not using it. I'm saying there's no way to use it in a similar way to use the candle.
Sukkah, it could be a good one. The Gemara discusses using the hadasim as perfume, fragrances, right? Lahariach. That's another one. Right, so you're not supposed to do it bishas mitzvah. Right, exactly. The Ramban is going to discuss that.
That's what I think the Baal Mor is.
Okay. Aval, Kedusha Einba, the Baal Mor categorically rejects the view of Rav that it's based on menorah, Umutra lishtamish le'oratash mishal mitzvah. So learning, counting tzedakah money, using it to light a meal with one's wife for shalom bayis. These are all mitzvah purposes. These would all be allowed. Okay. Uli ula. Everybody follow the maskana of the Balamor. By the way, this is a das yachid. This is I once wrote a poem about this Balamor. We had to make Hanukkah presentations, so I wrote a poem which I called the Lonely Balamor, because there's only one other rishon who paskins this way, the Bal HaItzer. Every rishon paskins against this. We halacha lemaaseh. We're going to do halacha lemaaseh next week. You can't. You're not really supposed to use it at all. But this is the way the Bal HaMor read the Gemara. The Ramban went ballistic, as we'll see. This Bal HaMor is an amazing shita. I called the poem. I should bring it in one time. Maybe we'll read it on Hanukkah. But it's called the Lonely Bal HaMor. Because the Bal HaMor, you know, was the only one, the Bal HaItzer also, but the Bal HaMor was the only one who read the Gemara this way. You know, it's online. What's that? Oh, yeah, 100%. It'll be online later today. Okay, shkach. Le'olam, the Bal HaMor says, I also paskin like Rava. Tzarech shetehe nerach aris imo bebayis kavua l'chol tashmisha kidr Rava. To amar Rava, v'tzarech nerach aris lehishtamesh li'ora. I'm going to require that there be another candle in the house. And then this is amazing. Afilu man d'amar moto liyishtamish li'ora kol tashmish ba'olam. Remember Rav Hun and Rav Chista, let's not forget about them. That was the first view in the Gemara, that it was permissible to use the Chanukah candles for anything. So there are three shitos in the Gemara according to the Bal HaMor. Asur liyishtamish li'ora based on menorah, you can't use it for anything. There's a Bizayim Mitzvah school, which is a machlokes between Shmuel and Rav Yosef. How far do you go? Does it apply to the flame? Does it apply to the light? But don't forget about where the Gemara started. Rav Hun and Rav Chista, who said it was mutter across the board. You can use those for anything. Okay, so there are three shitos in the Gemara. The Bal HaMor sees himself as a centrist. He's a moderate. So he paskins the middle view. He says, Afilu man d'amar mutter lishtamish d'ora kol tashmish ba'olam. According to the view of Rav Hun and Rav Chista, that you can use it for anything, fascinatingly, behad the Rava Moda, they'll also agree to Rava, shetzarech nerach aris, that you're going to require an additional candle in the house. But what do you mean? Why do you need an additional candle in the house? After all, you're allowed to use the Chanukah candles for anything. Again, what does that prove? That Rava can be read on either side. In other words, the fact that Rava requires an additional candle, you might have thought that Rava agreed with the one who says, oh, because you can't use the Chanukah candles, but he's saying no, Rava can go either way. Even those who paskin, you can use the Chanukah candles for anything, are still going to require an additional candle. Shelo yehei haroe omer letzarcho hu da'adlaka. Because what's the nature of Rava? Rava doesn't really necessarily relate to the question of mutter versus asur lishtamish bi'ora. Rava is relating primarily to which question of Pirsume Nisa, of how does this look to the outside? So you have to project the idea that Ner Chanukah is a mitzvah, that's why you lit it, and so everybody can tell, oh, you lit that for the mitzvah, you have other candles which are lit in the house. Now, once you establish that, you can use the lights of the Chanukah candles for anything you want, right? Because you have the other candles which are lit, so that still protects and preserves the message that the Chanukah candles themselves are lit for the purpose of the mitzvah. That's just why I wanted to show you this last point. Number one, to establish that the Bal HaMor really thinks that there are three shitos in the Gemara. Mutzer, Asar, and then in the middle, it's all about Bizoy, so it's going to depend. And that's exactly what you have reflected on the sheet. This is a great chazar of everything that we said about the Bal HaMor. Not only that, but the view which maintains you can use the Chanukah candles for whatever you want, they're still going to require to have an additional light lit to project the notion of pure Sume Nisa, that the Chanukah candles are primarily for the mitzvah, even though you can do whatever you want with them. That is the Bal HaMor. It's 8:30. We could either stop here and pick it up with the Milchamos next week, or people have an additional 10 minutes. What we can do is we can read the Milchamos. Do we have consensus? Jacob, you're okay? Josh, you're okay? Doctor, you're okay? Mark's okay. Okay. The Milchama says, first he attacks the Bal HaMor. I took that part out, not because it's not fun, it is, but there's just a limited amount of time. So Bal HaMor says as well, Emes HaDavar Sheikar Perish HaShmua Pashathu. It's very simple, and the Bal HaMor didn't get it. Techiyama Ravasi Asr Lahartos Mos Ribusa Kamash Malan. The Bal HaMor, this is the whole linchpin for the Bal HaMor. The Bal HaMor developed a whole different reading of the Gemara based on this line. The Bal HaMor developed a position which was that it's all about Bizoy, and there's a difference between those who argue it's based on Bizoy, namely Shmuel and Rav Yosef, versus those who argued it was based on the menorah, namely Rav and that whole cohort, what I like to call the wedge between Chaf Aleph Amud Beis and Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. So he says, no, that he just botched that whole sugya on Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. When he talked about counting the money, that wasn't to tell you that, only Tashmishei Chol are prohibited, Tashmishei Mitzvah are allowed, because it's all about Bizei Mitzvah. No, Shafilu Hartzas Mo, She'inu Ela'iyin HaKal, Aser, Kol Shekein Tashmish Acher, Bein Shom Mitzvah, Bein Shom Kedushah. He made the utterly wrong inference. The inference to be made from the Gemara debating the question of counting money was the Gemara was simply saying the least invasive usage imaginable. So the least invasive usage is like, you know, standing 12 feet away, yeah, and you're just like kind of like looking a drop a little bit. That's what the Gemara meant to say. But clearly, right, everybody's going to agree, even Shmuel, who permits counting the money, he's going to prohibit everything else, not just, you know, things which are clearly a bizui, you know, for secular mundane purposes, but any usage, whether it's Bein Shel Mitzvah, Bein Shel Chol. So the Ramban utterly rejects the distinction of the Baal HaMor between the bizui mitzvah school and the Asr Lishtamish Dera school. He believes that's one shita. V'yafilu Shmuel Nami Bishar Tashmish and Mode de Asr. Mishum da Roa Omer Litzarcho Hu de Abaka. Because Shmuel is preoccupied with the concern that we've seen in the Gemara already. Because you have to make sure that anybody who's looking from the outside is going to be able to tell that the Hanukkah candles are for the purposes of the mitzvah. So if you're going to be using them for other purposes, nobody's going to be able to tell that. Remember, the Baal HaMor disagreed with this strongly. The Baal HaMor thought that even if you hold Mutar Lishtamish Liora, you can use it for anything, you're still going to require the additional light, because that's what proves the point that, you know, for the Roa, from the outside observer, that the Neros Chanukah are a mitzvah. So you can still use it and preserve the notion of this is L'mitzvah as long as you're the Ner HaCharis. The Ramban is taking a completely different view. He says, no, of course, if you're going to be using it, nobody's going to realize that it's actually for the mitzvah. So he says Shmuel has that concern. What about the Gemara of Rava, which the Baal HaMor tried to, you know, use in this context? No, that's not enough. That's absolutely not enough, because there's plenty of times where people light many different lights in their home. Velo Chalak, Shmuel only diverged from the consensus view, al hartzaus mos, on counting light, mipnei she'enu tashmish, you're not even using the flame, ela hana'a bi'alma. The distinction that we raised before between flame and light is what the Ramban is calling tashmish versus hana'a. You're just deriving ancillary, tertiary benefit from the light. You're not engaging the flame at all. Mishum hachi amar v'chi ner kedushi yesh po. V'chi mitzvos davar shebikdushahem kigon tefillin or sefer Torah v'tashmishayim shehen asurin behanas tashmishin dechol. Right, that are completely usur, not just, you know, using the gufa davar itself, but with any kind of ancillary hana. So Shmuel draws the line and, you know, getting indirect, low, non-invasive kind of hana. Okay, l'fum hachi amalei Rav Yosef, and Rav Yosef's response is, v'chidam kedushi yesh bo, shelo yinog bo kemo sheyirtze. What Rav Yosef means is that you have no right to do whatever you want. Velo tashmishei mitzvah nizrakenhein. Tashmishei mitzvah, even after you perform the mitzvah lulav v'nesrog, you're allowed to throw them out. Ela afal pisha nizraken la'achar mitzvasan, Bishas mitzvason nohagin bahem kedusha shelo yihiyu mitzvos bezuyos alav. Unlike the Baal HaMor, who drove a complete wedge between these two ideas, Baal HaMor says if you hold the issue as bizui, so you're going to allow any tashmishal mitzvah, tashmishal kedusha. If you hold that the issue is the based on the notion of hektish, based on the notion of menorah, you're not going to allow anything. The Ramban puts these two together. He says, mitzvasan. Yeah, you can throw them out after the mitzvah, but bishas mitzvasan no hagin bahem kedusha. We treat them as if they were not just mitzvah, but kedusha. Shelo yihiyu mitzvos bizuyos alav. The definition of bizui mitzvah is that you elevate these chatzas of mitzvah, the Neros Chanukah, from being mere objects and instruments of mitzvah to things that you treat as if they have kedusha. Hachanami noagen bahen kedvarim shebikdusha. They're not dvarim shebikdusha, but you treat them as if they were. Ve'asurim mitashmi sheichol b'shas mitzvasan. Ve'lav mishum didami bizayon levizayon asila Rav Yosef. That's a shtach of the Balamar. It's not that Rav Yosef is coming along and saying, ah, just like in Kiso Yadam, this is an attack on Gufa Davar, so too here, this is an attack on Gufa Davar. Rav Yosef is just making a general point that Bizoy Mitzvah, the definition of Bizoy Mitzvah is that you take Tashmishe Mitzvah and you treat them as if they had Kedusha, and that you can't use them for any other purpose. So we're going to zero in on that point. Zeperish Hashita Ve'emes Ubarar, this is the proper way to interpret the Gemara. Michal Deshmaisa Kula Shamina Dener Chanukah Bechulu Shimushin Aser. Every kind of usage, not just Tashmishe Chol, as the Baal Mor would have it, but Tashmishe Mitzvah and Tashmishe Kedusha as well. Ke'ein Davar Sheyesh Bo Kedusha. It's not a Davar Sheyesh Bo Kedusha. It's not. But it's Ke'ein Davar Sheyesh Bo Kedusha. We treat it as such. V'hartza'as Ma'os, even counting money, which is the least invasive. V'kol Shekein Shara Tashmish Kamrinan. And called the Chomer any kind of more invasive Tashmish. Now we have to go one more line in the Milchamos, in the Ramban, to understand exactly how this works. So what the Ramban has said so far is, we know halachically disagrees with the Baal Amor, it's not going to be acceptable to use the Chanukah lights for any purpose. Why? What did he say so far? He said, what are we really doing? If you had to summarize the position of the Milchamos, what's the nature of Yisr Hana? He's not saying it is the menorah, it is... It's Kain. Namely, what does that mean, Josh? You take something which is an object of a mitzvah.
You treat it with respect.
You treat it with great respect, exactly. You can't be mevaza the mitzvah. What does it mean that you can't be mevaza the mitzvah? In practical terms, we elevate the level of an object of a mitzvah, of a tashmishe mitzvah, to be what? Tashmishe kedusha. We treat it as such. Nafka mina lamai, that a tashmishe kedusha cannot be used for any purpose. Whatsoever.
This is during the period of the
exactly. This will only apply, of course, during the period of the mitzvah itself. Now, were it hekdesh, were it actual hekdesh, it would apply after. That's what I mean, it's kain. Excellent point, Josh. That's what we've been, you know, remember that riff. The riff says that after the mitzvah is over, so you can do whatever you want. But what's the mechanism? The last point that we're going to do today, and finish off the machlokas between the Balamor and the Ramban on this point. So what's the mechanism? How do you elevate that? That the Ramban hasn't explained yet. That's the whole notion of the Gemara. The Ramban can't escape the Gemara. The Gemara spoke about Bizoy Mitzvah. And the Ramban says, Bizoy Mitzvah means elevating it from just Tashmishe Mitzvah to like Tashmishe Kedusha. You treat it as if Ke'ein, Davar Shebikdusha, that you can't use for anything else. What's the mechanism? I mean, how does that happen halachically? Okay, that's one way we may reflect it. So, how does this work? Taking something which is merely the object of a mitzvah and saying we're going to relate to this as if it were imbued with inherent sanctity and therefore one cannot use these things for any purpose, be it mundane, be it sacred. Right? That's the position of the Ramban, that's how he passed him against the Baal Amor. Yeah, Mark.
Tough question to type, but applying a simple Brisker method, isn't this just a good stuff that Gabra argues?
Yeah, okay, so Mark, excellent question. So, right, what we're saying is that the
question to type, but applying a simple Brisker method isn't just the goods.
Right, so there is clearly an elevation of the chatzah going on, right? You're promoting the chatzah from a tashmishe mitzvah. Mitzvos, you can do whatever you want with, right? Just do the mitzvah. But the halachic factor of Bizoy Mitzvah means that you have to elevate it from Tashmishe Mitzvah to Tashmishe Kedusha. The question is, what's the mechanism for that? How do you affect that change in the Chafza? So Ramban gives us, it is the question. Your Mark is absolutely right to point to, you know, the Chafza is being redefined from an object of a Mitzvah to an object of Kedusha. We treat it as an object of Kedusha. Ke'ein. I'm not saying it actually becomes something with Kedusha. But we're treating it differently halachically. So how does that happen? What's the mechanism? He hasn't given us the meat and the potatoes. Yeah.
That's a complicated question for you. The rabbi said that this is how you conduct yourself.
Okay, but what's the nature of that? What's the nature of that din d'rabbanan?
Why do they do that?
Yeah, I want to understand how that happens. They said treat it this way. Great. But is there more to it than that? What Mark is asking is that, in other words, is there some process by which the chetzah really does become redefined? Is it, or is it, as Jacob is saying, it's just a gzeira. What do you want? It's just a gzeira. So you treat it, right? Yeah, I mean, the Ramban thinks that's a factor, right? Remember, that's where the Ramban started, is that everybody's going to agree that there's an issue of Pirsume Nisa here. With the Balamore thought, no, even if you hold from Pirsume Nisa, you'll still allow people to use it for all kinds of purposes. That's what the Ner HaCharis is for. The Ramban wasn't thrilled with that because he said Ner HaCharis isn't sufficient, because there are plenty of times where people have lots of lights in their house, so that's not enough. That's why he thinks that Pirsume Nisa is only done justice to by restricting uses.
Right, so why can't just the Rabbanan have decided?
They can. They have that right. I wouldn't deny them that power. But what we would like it to be, we would like there to be some mechanism by which that takes place. We'd like to understand that in a bit of a deeper way. You know, and the Ramban does eventually give us a line. So, and this, with this we'll conclude. V'chein atadan me'at l'ner chanak. Klamar. T'kevon t'aser mishum bizoy mitzvah. The Ramban agrees. The active halachic factor here is bizoy ha-mitzvah. Denigration of the mitzvah. Remember that Baal Mor said bizoy ha-mitzvah, yes, that's the major factor, and therefore it's going to be permissible to use it for any other mitzvah usage, any other kedusha usage, because bizoy is defined, as Josh pointed out, by what you're doing. So it's not going to be a bizoy to learn, it's not going to be a bizoy to count tzedakah, it's not going to be a bizoy to use it for shalom bayis. The Ramban is a different perspective. The cave unto us are mishuin bizoy mitzvah. And the Ramban's conclusion is going to have to be that you can't use it for anything. He said that many times. Hiktsehu midaso legamre v'ne'esar b'chol tashmishin cheba olam sheharei hukta lemitzvah. One more time. Hiktsehu midaso legamre v'ne'esar b'chol tashmishin cheba olam sheharei hukta lemitzvah. What does Ramban say? What's the mechanism by which Neros Chanukah get elevated from tashmishay mitzvah to ke'ein tashmishay kedusha? That they go from being mere objects of a mitzvah to being prohibited for any other usage or purpose. After all, the Ramban is going to agree that the active factor here is bizoy mitzvah, and the Baal HaMor said, yeah, if it's bizoy mitzvah, that means by definition you can use it for anything which isn't a bizoy. So Ramban says, yeah, it's bizoy mitzvah, but I think that means that you can't use it for anything else, because what's the definition of bizoy? According to the Baal HaMor, the definition of bizoy means that you'd be using it for a denigrating purpose. Machlok is between Shmuel and Rav Yosef whether that's the flame or the light. But you're using it for a denigrating purpose, something which isn't a mitzvah in its own right. The Ramban says, no, bizoy means that you can't use it for anything else. Why? Because what's the nature of bizoy mitzvah? Says the Ramban. Go ahead, Jacob. That the way that you pay respect to the Josh, this is exactly the question before, the way that you show respect to this mitzvah is by being makta it, by saying, this is only for this mitzvah. There is no other purpose in the world which I will use this for. This is the ultimate kavod to the mitzvah, so to speak. Therefore, I don't care whether it's learning, I don't care whether it's counting stuff, I don't care whether it's shalom bias. That itself would constitute a bizoy ha-mitzvah. Okay, again, the came unto us are mishum bizoy mitzvah, hiktsehu mida'aso ligamre, v'ne'esar b'chol tashmishin sheba'olam, sheharei hukta l'mitzvah. The most expansive definition of bizoy ha-mitzvah imaginable. Bizoy ha-mitzvah means that any other usage, even if it was for the purpose of mitzvah, even if it was the purpose of kedusha, would constitute a bizoy. Because the way that we define giving dignity to the mitzvah is by being makted. By literally, what would we call that? I like to use the term, being maktish it for the purposes of the mitzvah. And that's how the Ramban will come to the conclusion that, yes, the Baal HaMor is right. The active factor here is bizoy ha-mitzvah, but the conclusion is wrong. Bizoy ha-mitzvah doesn't just mean you can't use it for a denigrating purpose. That was Josh's idea. Yeah, I was just denigrating, you know. Very much with, along the lines of the Baal HaMor, the whole thrust of Baal HaMor. The Ramban says the nature of bizoy mitzvah is that you have to be makted strictly and exclusively for the purposes of this mitzvah, and the only thing that that's really comparable to is Hektish. That's why he calls it Ke'ein Davar Shebikdusha. That's the whole language which the Ramban is appealing to. Okay, so you have the chart here just to help Chazara all the subtle points in the Baal HaMor that we went through. We had the dispute between the Ramban and the Baal HaMor. How would one define bizoy ha-mitzvah? Next week we're going to pick it up with the final shir, which is just Halach L'maisa, L'atzukei Shmaisa Libet Hilchasa. We have to know what the Halach L'maisa is after spending so much time, and then we'll be ready to move on to further segyos in the topic. Okay.